Well, Beatlemania 64 was, you know, not to get too long-winded about it, we were a band that was from the Waco area about 18 years ago that we had an Elvis impersonator and a Beatles show, and we were called Johnny Mandel and the Mudcats. And, yeah, it's kind of nuts, and we were discovered by a financier on a gig in Palestine, Texas, of all things. And the next thing I know, within 6 weeks, we were on tour. Yeah, it was like being discovered, I guess you say.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about Beatlemania, what you guys do, because you're not your standard band. You guys go a little bit further than that.
Right. I mean, we've, over the years, when we were discovered by these gentlemen, they produced us. They actually said, okay, look, if we're going to do it, let's do it the correct way. Let's watch videos of the Beatles in their early years. And then they had laser pointers. They recorded us doing it. They bought us a theater to perfect it in. And, I mean, all the way down to the bows, what John Lennon would say, what Paul McCartney would say, the suits that they wore, the exact boots. I mean, we had to find the Beatles tailor from back in the 60s in London to get the actual, you know, okay, what did they wear? What kind of ties? I mean, you can look at a picture, but then until you really see it in person, I mean, and the suits are little bitty tight suits, four button, you know. So to kind of make a long story short, we play the exact instruments. We play the exact amps with the exact amp settings that they had. We even went as far one time as to get in touch with one of the Beatles producers, and his name was Jeff Emmerich, and a lot of Beatle fans will know that name. Jeff Emmerich said, no, this is what you got to do. This is how you do it. And we're like, okay. And we found out some interesting things about him. Like they tried to fill spots because they felt like they were kind of hollow while they were playing. Like one guy didn't play. Like nowadays, a guitarist, man, guys just hammer away at a bunch of guitars. And not saying that that's a bad thing. It's just, but what they did was different is when one guy was playing, the other guy didn't. When the other guy needed to fill in, he filled in. It was kind of like a mini little orchestra, the way they put it together. It's what Mr. Emmerich said.
That must take a lot of research to figure out all the different types of things that were. How did you guys handle that research?
Well, at first, it was way before the internet was real strong. So we had to really just kind of get magazines like Variety and this and that. And we found people that were selling footage of their live concerts. Because if we did it, we wanted to stay true to what they did live. Because, I mean, they really stopped performing live after 1966. And they had 4 years of all this, you know, phenomenal music that they only did in the studio. And they kind of created the music video. Start with Sgt. Pepper's and Revolver. I mean, not Revolver, but like Hey Bulldog. All these songs that are just kind of obscure. Not Sgt. Pepper's. That's probably their greatest one, they say. But it takes a lot. It took a lot of trying to figure out. So we would get these little, you know, secret packages of black market footage of the Beatles playing live at Shea Stadium. You know, and we're like, okay, so let's watch that. Then we would have to practice it and perform it in front of the promoters or producers. And they'd say, no, over here you need to do this. You need to stamp your foot this way. I mean, all the way down to how we stand, who and what we are on stage. It's like an individual personality per guy that comes to one big personality, which is what they were. So it's kind of interesting. You know, it does take a lot of research.
And so the thing about Beatlemania 64 is you're a tribute band, which is different than a cover band, because as a tribute band, you have to be the members of the Beatles, and you're the John Lennon of the group, right?
Right. I do John.
So how do you prepare to be John Lennon? What is being him to you?
Well, when I was a kid, I felt akin to this guy's style of music. When I would hear him, I would go, well, who is this guy? You know, and I was 12 years old when he passed away or was assassinated by that crazy man. But I would listen to him and think, wow, what is this guy thinking? Like, is he kind of on a different echelon than most people? So I was just kind of a rock and roll kid trying to figure it out. And I started thinking, it'd be cool to be him. Never thought it would actually happen, you know. I'm not saying I'm him. I'm just saying that it would be cool to tribute to him, like you said. And tribute artists is totally different than cover because We have to get into their mindset. And I mean, like, John Lennon had a way about him where he was real harsh, comedy, strict. He was, like he would say, you know, things that, oh, we're a band, we're a very big band, we just wanted to be rich. I mean, just very quick like that, you know, and you're like, wow. And then Paul's over here going, oh, I don't know, you know, and Paul is the whimsical type fun guy. John was the serious one, and George was the quiet one. Then you have Ringo back there just kind of holding it all together. And it's very interesting. It's like a small little orchestra of personality.
Tell us a little bit about the different members of Beatlemania 64 and how they play other members of the Beatles.
Well, we have one guy that can do two parts. You know, we've had he can do the Paul or the George. Very talented musicians. We've had one, the drummer, which is very odd. His name is Reno Tandy. He's been in the cast for 13 years. He's the drummer, and his name is Reno, which he plays Ringo, which is very odd. A lot of people always think he's saying he's Ringo, but he's not. He's just Reno. And this guy is such a great musician that he can read it verbatim out of the full scores. So when he plays Ringo, he plays exactly what Ringo did on the albums because he just reads it right out of the book. I mean, he has it memorized now, but when he first started on tour with us, he literally had to read it. He had like 8 days to go do 38 shows with us, like all over America. And he had a little yellow tab in the tour bus and just going, okay, I got it. And it's very good.
Tell us about some of the shows that Beatlemania 64 has played over the years.
Well, our biggest show to date was where they brought the soldiers back in 2006 or 8, I'm not for sure, from an Afghanistan thing at Fort Hood. And it was at Hood Stadium, and it was with Joan Jett and Ja Rule. It was 85,000 people there. I mean, that's a, you know, to aspire to play, you know, 1,000 people or better is great, you know, but to see 85,000 soldiers screaming Beatles, you know, it was pretty amazing. So we did that one. We've done from East to West Coast. We've done Florida. We've done the Hard Rock Cafe in Orlando at the Universal Studios. We've done a lot of cruise ship work for celebrity cruise lines, and we'll just come in there. That's a really cool gig, too. You know, you fly in, you get on the boat, you play two 45-minute shows, and then you sit around and just wait till your next show about a week later on the cruise ship. I mean, so it's like that's like the greatest tour bus of all time. So, you know, it's one of those things.
That sounds like a pretty cush gig there.
Oh, yeah. We like that. That's like the big time for a tribute band, you know. I mean, the reality of it is we're probably not going to, you know, headline stadiums. These guys did. They started that. I mean, the guy that gave us this logo, Mr. Bernstein, he was an impresario. He discovered the Rolling Stones, the Beatles, the Rascals. He managed Judy Garland, Frank Sinatra. One day, out of the blue, he gives me a call and says, I'm going to give you my endorsement. I never did, and I never wanted to, but I think you guys are doing it at such a level that I want to give you a gift for the rest of your life. And he gave me that logo. So that's the Broadway logo. He left it to me in his will, you know, and he told us to stay true to our, you know, the way we do what we do.
So how did you end up with this show at the Hooper Schaefer Fine Arts Center, and what's it for?
Okay, well, it's for the James Swain Memorial Scholarship Fund, benefiting that. And what that gentleman was he was I think he was one of the very first costume designers and technical advisors and that built and made. And you have to have a lot of history to be a costume designer. And apparently this guy was very, very good. So his family, I think, endowed the scholarship. And how we got the show was we happened to be off, and a good friend of ours, Adam Redmer, over at the Hooper Schaefer Fine Arts, he's one of the directors of the theater there, he said to me, he said, man, I wish I could get you in our theater at Jones Theater. We could do a scholarship fund, this and that. And I kept thinking, well, it'd be cool. I mean, you've got a cool theater here. Let's do this. So we figured out a way to do it. So that's kind of what it is. We're giving back, because we have to do that sometimes. It's not all about the money for us. It's about giving back, you know, especially Baylor. You know, you got to love the Bears, you know, especially if I'm from Waco.
So when can people who are interested catch you at Hooper Schaefer?
It'll be October 27th. The show starts at 7:30. I think the doors will open 30 minutes before. There will be a media show before that shows our history, kind of shows the 18 years of existence. It'll show pictures of us on the road, out of costume, in costume. It'll show us running away from girls. It'll show everything. And then we will do a meet and greet, too, after the show for everybody that wants, you know, photos with us.
So, see, you brought your guitar. Would you like to play a little something for us?
Sure. I'll play a little piece of one. Let's see. One of my favorite ones is cool because of the way they kind of laid it out. It's called Norwegian Wood. Should I say she once had me? She showed me her room. Isn't it good, Norwegian wood? She asked me to stay and she told me to sit anywhere. So I looked around and I noticed there wasn't a chair. Set on a rug, biding our time, drinking her wine. She hopped into two, and then she said, it's time for bed. She told me she worked in the morning and started to laugh. We always laugh. I told her I didn't and crawled off to sleep in the bath. And when I awoke, this bird had flown, I was alone. So I lit a fire, isn't it good, Norwegian wood?
Mark Nix of Beatlemania 64, you can catch them at the Hooper Schaefer Fine Arts Center, Friday, October 27th, doors open at 7.
Right. And the tickets are 20 general admission, 35 third and fourth rows, and 50 for the first front row. I would like to give a shout out to one of our sponsors, if it's okay. Dancing Bear Pub over in Baylor, very nice place. Went and talked with the gentleman over there, and they were glad to be a sponsor.
Thanks for stopping by, Mark.
Hey, man, no problem. I appreciate it, brother. See you at the show.